Ruby Riders Pegging Paradise podcast number 82 on April 16th, 2014. Hey, everybody. This is a different kind of a podcast. I've got virtually no notes whatsoever. I'm not going to read any questions. I'm not going to play any pegging celebration songs. I've been sitting on this one for a while. And the reason I've been sitting on it is because it's personal. And I, you know, personal stuff I have to sit with for a while and figure out what there is to figure out. Figure out how I feel about things, what my lessons are, things like that. And also, with my podcast, I had to figure out how much I wanted to share with you guys. It's a really interesting thing, the relationship that I have with you all. Because you tune in, you listen to me, and I get so much lovely, encouraging, and supportive feedback when I share my personal stuff. And then there's that line where I have a life and I want to have some privacy. And so sometimes how I make that decision is if there's really something to learn there, if there's something that I can share with you guys that has some lessons in it, and I can share with you the lessons that I learned, then that helps me share some of the personal stuff. So what this is about is Zach. And for those of you who are just beginning to listen to the podcast and kind of late to the party, if you check back on my blog and you check back on my other podcasts, you will find a number of mentions about Zach and a number of stories that he and I have written together. And this is a man that I had an email relationship with for a long time and then finally met in person and had a lovely one-time meeting with him. And I refer to him as my illicit connection, my illicit email guy or instant messaging guy, because he is indeed married. So that was the first lesson that I got to learn with Zach, is that, and I have mentioned this before on my podcasts, I actually was judging people who were doing the exact same thing that I did. I was judging people who, men, who communicated with me that they didn't think their partner could ever learn to like pegging, so they weren't even going to talk to them about it, and they were going to go out and find it somewhere else. And partly, I guess, I disagreed with not even trying, but, you know, everybody makes that decision for themselves. It's a really critical one because only you know your spouse well enough to wonder whether or not they will actually leave you. And if you have tons of things invested and you have kids and family and all that, it can be a huge risk to reveal that. But what I disagreed with more when people wrote in and told me these things was that they were breaking the promise that they made to their partner. Now, I have a kind of a loose view of monogamy these days. I think it's perfectly okay to be non-monogamous. In fact, that's the kind of relationship I'm looking for. On the other hand, I'm pretty big on honesty. So I surprised myself when, after finding out that Zach was married, I continued staying in touch with him. So we had quite the email relationship, and it turned into instant messaging. We talked a few times on the phone, and it's really hard to describe everything that we shared. One of the things that was pretty remarkable that happened between us is that he was given a chance to explore some kinks that he had that he never really told anyone about before and never given himself permission to explore. In talking with me, I was very, very accepting of his desire to explore pegging and anal play, first of all, which he was doing solo, but also he had a love for women's panties. And, you know, my listeners know this because I told a story that I gave you the MP3 of that I told at Body Storytelling. But I'm just kind of doing a recap here because, you know, I'm trying to put the story all together in one place. And also he was bi-curious, and so he was very interested in that as well. These are things that he just really suppressed inside himself and denied. And we talked enough to where these things came out little by little. And I think he was really surprised in the beginning that I was very accepting of them and encouraging that if they were something that turned him on, that maybe we should talk about that and maybe he should explore it, even just the thought of it. He told me at one point that he learned so much from me whenever he revealed deeper parts of himself, that every time I asked him a tough question or a probing question, that he dug deep and tried to be as honest as he possibly could because he always learned something about himself because of it. So we shared all kinds of things together, and it wasn't just a one-way thing. He shared a lot of things with me, observations about how I am in life, how I tend to be the healer, the giver, the person who runs around trying to help people, which, you know, interestingly enough, is exactly what I do on this podcast. It's what I do as Ruby. It's what I do when I write people letters and try and help them figure out their whole pegging thing. And in my job as Ruby, I have also gotten sucked in. You know, I don't mean that in a negative way, but I've got kind of sucked into just helping people accept their kinks. Because so many kinks are usually wrapped up with pegging as well. And it's an interesting thing to talk to someone who is so sitting on the fence and kind of freaking out about these kinks coming right up in their face. And they're not really sure how to deal with it because they've been suppressing it their whole life. And they're scared of what people will think and all of those things. So I love doing this, but Zach pointed out that I do it sometimes to my detriment because I'm helping so many people that I'm not taking time to actually do the things that make me money and pay my bills. So yeah, that was a good observation. We've learned a lot from each other. And there were times when we absolutely flirted with the idea of getting together, even though we kept saying that we would never do it and that we couldn't do it. Both of us were crossing a huge line of integrity, even talking with each other. And yet, it continued. And yet, we talked a lot every day. The instant messaging thing, yeah. We were in contact quite a bit, always touching base and checking in with each other. And it was, I had a friend right there all the time. And not just a friend. A friend who sent me all kinds of amazing things, stories that he'd written, titillating things that he wrote specifically tailored to my fantasies, because we had talked so much about each other's fantasies that he knew exactly what I loved. So it was pretty fucking hot, absolutely. And it was not just hot, it was deep. It ended up being emotionally quite deep. There's a question on OkCupid that says, do you think it's possible to fall in love with someone online? And I have always thought that that's freaking nuts, right? I always have thought that's nuts. And yet, that's what happened. I absolutely fell in love with this man. Now, I'm a realist, so I never had any bizarre fantasies of him leaving his wife, me getting together with him, or anything like that. I mean, a more unlikely pairing, one could hardly imagine. He's in his late 20s. I'm in my mid-50s. He's married. And yeah, not okay. And not going to happen. Not just not okay, not going to happen. He never, ever gave me any kind of indication that that was ever a possibility. So I never saw it as one. I never held it as one. And then things kept progressing between us, and eventually, I think we both just kind of caved, and we got together. Now, there are some stories written about that. That was when Zach had his first beating. He wanted me to beat him until he cried, and it worked. And it was a pretty incredible experience. It was absolutely incredible. The whole experience with him getting together with him was, it was amazing. There was so much delight and enjoyment in the fulfillment of all of these things we had talked about for so long. Did I feel guilty? You know, not really. I can always use that cheesy excuse about it wasn't my promise, you know, but it was against my, you know, my moral code. It was out of integrity because I don't mess around with married guys, or at least I hadn't thus far in my life. But at the same time, that was not in the forefront of my mind when I got together with him. So we got together. We had an amazing time. And we would probably still be planning illicit meetings, just like that first one. But we had a hiccup in our relationship. I found out that he had lied to me about something pretty big. And, you know, take a look at the situation, right? A man who's lying to his wife to be with me. Is it any real surprise that he lied to me? No, not really. I reacted pretty intensely, and I said some things to him about not even really knowing who he was. And I believe that caused him to back off and do a lot of evaluation about who he was and what he wanted in life. And it never really came back from there. He said that the part of himself, that part that had gotten comfortable with thinking about things like wearing panties and getting fucked and being with men, that part had just really turned off. And that the way that he felt about me now was that it seemed like, it felt like I was the glass of whiskey and he was the alcoholic that would reach for it and then say no. So, well, far be it from me to be the one who would convince him to see me again, because, you know, that actually felt like something I didn't want to do and couldn't do, is sit and try and convince him to, you know, go against his moral code, basically. So time went by. He had asked for some time to figure out who he was and what he wanted. And then he wanted to just chat with me and talk with me. And it turned out that I couldn't go back. I couldn't go back to just being his titillating pen pal, someone who he could talk to about all of the things that he couldn't talk to anyone in his life about. Having had him in my bed and under my crop, I couldn't go back from there. I wanted more of that. And I'd still be doing it if he hadn't pulled away. So to go back to pen pal just felt like I would be sitting there longing and wanting and becoming more and more resentful when I couldn't get what I wanted. And that just seemed like a setup for bad feelings all the way around. So I finally wrote him and basically told him it was time to say goodbye. Not an easy thing to do. It's actually pretty amazing when I took a good look at everything around me, how many parts of my life he had infiltrated. And I don't mean to use that word in a negative sense. It was just that, oh, I had pictures on my phone. I had messages, a whole string of messages, history with the instant messaging. I had stories. I have stories. I don't just, you know, there are ones that you guys haven't heard yet that I haven't edited that he wrote me that are waiting to be edited and put up for your enjoyment. There were recordings of his orgasms that I had put on my phone to listen to once in a while for fun. There were so many things. There is a little note that he wrote for me that said, "My ass belongs to you. Thanks for tearing down the walls." And of course, there is the cherished pair of panties that he forgot. When we got together, I bought him 3 pair of panties, and when he left in the morning, he grabbed them up from the floor and grabbed one of mine by mistake and left one of his. So, yeah, I'm going to tuck those away in a nice safe place as a cherished memory, basically. And it's interesting having this podcast and writing the stories, because those will never go away. I think that in the end, we both let each other into each other's lives a lot more than we had both planned. It created the depth. I mean, it laid the foundation for that deep sharing and all that came of it. And so, okay, why am I sharing this with you guys? Well, partly I just want you to know what's going on with me. You guys know that I care about you. When you write in, when you call in and you have these issues and problems and questions, I do my very best to help you because I care about you guys. And I want more than anything to try and help people, to try and give you the right answers and get you where you want to go, and so that there's more pleasure in this world and happiness and love. And I know that you guys care about me too. I mean, the last time that I had a tough breakup, I didn't have a podcast. And so it's all on my blog way back when, right? Years ago. And this time, I got to admit, it's tough talking about this on my podcast. It really is. So what are the things that I learned? Well, the first I already mentioned about a lack of judgment. Over and over again recently, it has really been coming up right in front of me over and over how powerful acceptance and lack of judgment are. I mean, that's the whole thing that Zach and I went through, was acceptance and lack of judgment as far as his kinks and things, and mine too, that I shared with him, and parts of me that I didn't really like that I shared with him. Both of us found parts of ourselves that we didn't think other people would ever really appreciate or support or encourage and not judge. And we shared those parts with each other without judgment and with total acceptance. And that's a really powerful thing. So what's come to the forefront for me is that this acceptance and lack of judgment seems to me to be the very foundation, and I've said this already on my podcast, but I'm going to repeat it again. It's like the building blocks of sex-positive attitudes in our society. And there is a thread there that I am going to follow and see if I can find some magic formula that includes this acceptance and lack of judgment to walk down that road and that path to try and encourage less judgment, more acceptance, more sex-positive attitudes about sexuality in general, so that we can, as a society, stop seeing this shoving people into boxes. I saw firsthand, when I was with Zach, how painful that can be and how harmful that can be. I mean, with the whole panties thing, sure, it's titillating, it's fun, it's he loved it, he totally got off on it, I loved it, I loved the contrast. But after we spent that one time together, there was a day in which he wore his panties pretty much all day long. He testified in court, and also he had to go do something else that day. And he had the panties on pretty much all day. Well, when he took them off, he actually had this wave of emotion totally surprise him. We talked it out, and basically, it was that he had let this part of himself out, and now he had to put it back in the box. And he was feeling all kinds of emotion around that. And I told him it was a good thing, because he'd been suppressing his emotions for so long that actually it was a really good sign that they were coming out. He didn't feel that way. He said, well, that's good to hear, because it feels like shit. But see, this is such a powerful thing, acceptance and lack of judgment. It truly, truly is. So along with learning not to judge other people who occasionally take a step over that line of integrity, that moral code, I have also learned that acceptance and lack of judgment are extremely powerful. And there's something that I want to encourage across the board in every freaking relationship out there. Through that experience with Zach, I learned how beautiful it is to see someone open up and allow a part of themselves to come out that they thought no one could ever love. How powerful that is to let that part out and find that someone truly accepts it, doesn't judge it, and in fact loves it. That was the most powerful thing that happened between us. And that is something that, if I had the magic wand one more time, I would help every couple who is struggling with the whole guy presents it to the woman freaks out, or the guy is afraid to present pegging to the woman because he thinks she's going to freak out. If the magic wand was there, the acceptance and lack of judgment would be right there at the end of the wand. But not having a magic wand, I'm going to do my fucking very best to encourage those attitudes, and not just with pegging. I mean, this, I came across this because this is my passion. It's what I teach about. It's what I love. It's where I went down the rabbit hole and began to learn all these things. But it's truly across the board is what it needs to be. Acceptance and lack of judgment about everyone's sexual choices. Whatever they choose to do sexually, consensually, doesn't harm anyone else, is fine and should never be judged. It amazes me, especially because, you know, pegging is an edgy thing. It's a way edgy thing. It amazes me how much judgment there is about so many of the things that I have taken great delight in exploring along with the pegging, like the BDSM stuff. I mean, I'm in a world now to where I know so many people that do so many things that are outside of the box that I walk amongst those people and talk with them every single day. So it's really second nature to me to be really accepting and non-judgmental. And it's so cool because sometimes I'll share a little story like I did about the panties with Zach, and I'll have a friend say, yeah, I wear panties. Yeah, I wore them for my whole business trip when I was gone last week. And it's just, it's delightful to see these layers of people that they finally feel safe enough to let out and that they've been hiding for so long because society has this nasty box. I hate the box. The fucking box sucks. So I'm going to fight against the box. And I'm going to really do my best to try and encourage those attitudes everywhere I go. So there's that inevitable moment when you look back and you think, okay, if I had this choice to make again, and I had it to do all over again, would I do this again? Would I do it the same way? Would I change things? I would do it again. It's hard to say if I would change things or not. It's there's a part of me that is still so hungry for more of that man that I find myself like second-guessing myself and thinking, well, you know, if I hadn't have done this, if I hadn't have said that, maybe we would still be enjoying time together. But the truth of the matter is that what we shared always had a time limit on it. It always did. It was never going to last forever. So to a certain extent, it's probably better that it ended sooner because it did have the whole tinge of out of integrity, absolutely, out of integrity. So I suppose that there may be some of you out there thinking, well, yeah, you're out of integrity. You deserved what you got, man. Yeah, you might be judging me, but be careful with that judgment because you may find yourself in a similar situation someday in your future. And I don't know. I just wanted to share all this because this is where I am right now. It's not an easy place to be because it's still pretty fresh. And I really miss him. But life goes on. And when I take a good long look at my life, I'm so fucking lucky. Oh my God, I get to do so much of what I love. So, okay, moving away from the teary stuff onto a related subject, speaking of loving what I do. I mentioned before how I love to help people. I love to answer your questions and write you long emails and give you answers to things and talk about your questions on my podcast and all that kind of stuff. And what I recently have realized is that I am spending most of my time doing this. There's only a certain amount of questions I can do on every podcast, but there are a lot of places on the internet where I am and where I'm answering questions, like FetLife.com, there's the Tribes Pegging 101 group, there is my Ruby address, there is my question line, and there's also Reddit, Facebook, and Twitter. So, long story short, or long story long, I find myself answering questions of people all day long. And the other thing that I have found myself doing is I have found myself being the person to, how do I say this? I'm the one that the men come to who are kind of freaking out because they like anal play. They think they might like pegging, but they're not really sure. And then sometimes there's also kinks that go along with pegging that they fantasize about, but they're kind of freaking out about their fantasies because, hey, it's outside of the fucking box, right? And I'm the one that kind of talks them down and accepts that and tells them it's all okay and gives them resources and points them in the right direction. Now, I love doing this. I totally love doing this. And if I were independently wealthy, I would do it all day long because I love it. I love helping people. But the reality is that I can't afford to do this all day long anymore. There are other projects that I'm working on that really need my attention that do pay the bills, whereas answering all of these emails and helping people does not pay the bills. And it even has crept into my personal life. I mean, I have made no secret that I love younger men. Love younger men, absolutely. And so sometimes I'll meet a younger man either on FetLife or on OkCupid or something, and he will be one of those guys that's kind of freaking out about his kinks. And so we'll spend time talking on the phone and we'll send emails a little bit. And then all of a sudden, much to my dismay and my frustration, he will up and turn around and run off and go and take that newfound more of a comfort level with his kinks and maybe hook up with his old girlfriend or get the courage to ask his girlfriend with the pegging or something like that. And I am left fucking high and dry. Not a fun thing. It's funny, I complained about that on Facebook and my community were quick to tell me that, you know what, that's called volunteer work and you either need to have someone as a client or a potential partner. And if someone cannot meet you at the level where you are, then they're not a potential partner, they're a client. Well, that started me thinking down the whole line of beginning to limit this whole answering questions thing. And it's hard to even say this because I do want to answer all those questions. I do want to help all those people. But the reality is what's going to be happening is that I'm going to have private consultations as basically a sexuality consultant. I have my areas of expertise and I'm not qualified to answer any and all questions. But the areas that I particularly shine in are the ones that I just described. Especially with the macho guys, the total masculine guys like Zach is, who are kind of freaking out because they're finding these desires inside themselves, even to be submissive as well, and some of the BDSM stuff, and they're kind of freaking out. I can absolutely help you with that. Another area I shine is in guiding a guy through his trying to persuade his girlfriend or how to approach her about pegging. I also shine at guiding couples through their initial exploration with pegging. And last but not least, I do quite well at helping couples fine-tune their pegging once they've already started on the adventure and they're just looking for more tips and information and things like that, specifics, if you will. I have so much information, and what happens when I answer these questions that you all write in is that I really want to give you the best information possible. And that usually entails a really long, detailed, and accurate email. It's easier when I do it on the podcast, but I get so many questions that I can't answer them all on the podcast. And, you know, that type of information I've worked hard to learn, and it's valuable, and I am finally deciding to charge for it. If I win the lottery, or I suddenly become independently wealthy by some other means, I will go back to answering all your questions. And I don't know, I don't want you guys to think I'm unavailable because I like to think I am, but there is a break point at which I'm getting too many questions to answer. You know, maybe I need to have a staff. But then again, who's going to pay the staff, right? So we come back to the I can't afford this issue again. And that's a piece of news I wanted to share with you, and it's a decision that I had to make because the projects that I'm working on, a couple of books and videos and classes and things like that, really do deserve more of my attention than I have been giving them. It is so easy to be sucked into questions in the moment where people write and they just they need all this information and they need help. So I jump on those and I put off working on the projects, and this is not going well. So there you have it. That's another piece of news. And what else? I think I wanted to talk a little bit about an experience I had last weekend. There's a sex positive group called Authentic Relating LA, and I went to an event that they had, and it was intimacy games, and the whole point was to come together in a group of people, many of whom didn't know each other, met for the very first time that night, and have different exercises and games that you do with each other to drop immediately past the chit-chat, the social niceties, BS that we all present to each other every day as a matter of being polite and gracious. But, you know, to a certain point, it gets really boring because you never get past that social layer. So these exercises and games were designed to help you drop in. And I loved it. One of the things that I'm quite sure about myself is that it is really, truly my bliss to connect with people. I mean, teaching is what I was meant to do because it gives me so much joy to be able to connect with people and give them information that helps them find more pleasure in their life. So connecting with people on a deeper level is just bliss. And even in my personal life, the deeper the connection, the better. When I am even just looking for a fun time, like Friends with Benefits, I always say I don't do disconnected sex. Intimacy is a requirement for me, because sex without intimacy holds absolutely no interest for me at all. So yeah, connecting, that's my bliss, connecting with other people. So this evening was really pretty remarkable. They had a number of different exercises that they had us do, and I loved it. So anybody in the LA area that's interested in something like that, I highly recommend you check it out. It's on the Meetups group, and Meetups is just a platform for people who have groups that meet. And this particular meetup group is called Authentic Relating LA. And it's awesome. It's totally awesome. I highly recommend it. There are other groups with Authentic Relating in different places than LA. I haven't really checked to see where. But if it appeals to you, check it out. Because that evening was designed as an introductory sort of thing to then go into a deeper level and get together with smaller groups of people and do something called circling, which is kind of the same games, but more focused and more intense. Ooh, I like intensity. I really, really do. So there you go. That's another little tidbit in case you choose to explore it. So there's one more thing I want to talk about, and I've touched on this before in a number of ways, but I want to kind of try and pull it all together right now. I've talked about gender fluidity and bisexuality and bicuriosity. And one of the things that I have found in traveling in this sexually open community that I'm in, when people talk about parties like swingers parties, they talk about how bisexual men are just simply really discouraged to even attend, and gay men are pretty much prohibited. And I came across the whole bisexual thing by making the error of insisting over and over and over again that guys who love pegging are not gay, so much so that I made the error of not leaving any room for the bisexual men. So having made that error, I then really wanted to find out how the bisexual men, whether it was full bisexual or bicurious, how that was in their life, how that manifested, what they did with it, whether they were honest with it, whether they weren't. And then there was that one lovely podcast where they all wrote in and told me. And that I got such a strong response for that. And I'm actually, in my personal life, quite open to having a bisexual partner. I think that would be totally awesome. But you guys, you bicurious guys and bisexual guys, really have a soft spot in my heart, because there's so many places that I see that just can't handle that. And I mean, even bisexual women are much more accepted than bisexual men. And this goes back to the whole putting men in the box thing. I saw firsthand what it did to Zach. Now, he put himself in some pretty intense boxes with military and cop and things like that. But at the same time, without that, without the hyper-masculine thing, men are put in boxes that really prevents them from exploring any kind of kink that leans over into what the person who's judgmental, the person who's being judgmental, considers to be feminine territory, whether that is anal play or cross-dressing or just liking to wear panties or being submissive. Any of those things are very harshly judged when men decide to be open about enjoying them. That is something I'd really, really love to change. So I just want to put out a total open invitation out there for all the bi guys or the bi curious guys. Please keep writing in. Tell me what you think about. Tell me what you lust after. Tell me what you like about that part of yourself and what's difficult about it. Tell me if you like to wear panties or garter belts or lingerie, or if you like to do the full-on cross-dressing, and why you like it. And share with me, because one of the things I want to do is understand more. And the more you guys share, the more I understand. These are stories that I'm actually anxious to read and share. And part of the reason I want to do that is because personal stories are powerful. Over and over and over again, I see that. So if someone stumbles across this podcast, just, you know, total straight guy running around going, yeah, I like to be pegged, but I'm straight. Okay, I'm straight, right? And then listens to this podcast and hears bisexual or bicurious guys writing in and hears their story, that personalizes that story. And that makes it into a person as opposed to just a concept. A concept is easy to reject. A concept is easy to make fun of or judge. But when it's a person and they're telling you their story and they're sharing with you the difficult parts and the fun parts and the lustful parts and all of those things, it personalizes it. It makes it into a real thing that is much, much harder to become judgmental of. And I just think that will help in lessening the judgment around bisexuality and bicurious. Because I get a lot of you guys, and it's funny, in the very beginning, I was drawing that line so strongly. And what I'm learning is that it's not about labels, of course. It's so easy to just go, well, I'm bicurious, or I'm bisexual, or I'm totally straight, or whatever. But there's a fluidity. There is an absolute fluidity that I think happens. And what, you know, okay, let's go back to the Zach thing and do full circle here. There was a part of him that had an experience way back when. Now, that was in the box big time. That was like buried under a bunch of shit. And he wasn't going to tell me about that. And then it came out, and then that was accepted and it wasn't judged. And he felt a lot more free to talk about it, to the point where he found himself in a situation once where he actually saw a guy and looked at his face and he got turned on. He said that's the first time that's ever happened. Because, you know, bi curiosity many times is, it's like genital centric. So there's guys that just kind of are very fascinated with the idea of like sucking another guy's cock or having their own sucked. And it's not about kissing, it's not about romantic, it's not about anything but the genitals and the fucking and that sort of instinct to get off. So that really, really surprised him, was he saw this guy and got turned on. And we were instant messaging at the time. And I said, well, what does he look like? He described him really, really detailed. And at the very end of the message said, wow, that was an embarrassing amount of detail, wasn't it? And it's just, I don't know, it's beautiful when this comes out. It really is. To see these parts that have been so hidden for so long come out in people. It was beautiful to see in Zach. And I want to see that in as many people as I can. So that's what I'm working for. That's what I'm working towards. That's what I want for all you guys. Okay, so the part of the piece of information that I forgot to give you is that the private consultations that I'm offering are available through my website. If you go to my website and you click on classes and education, you will see the link to the information that I have for you about private consultations. Thanks for listening, everybody. This wasn't the easiest podcast for me to do, but I wanted to, and I'm glad I did. So thanks for hearing my story. Feel free to write in and share your own. And I'm going to skip all the usual sign-off stuff. I'm just going to tell you thanks for downloading and listening. And happy pegging, everybody.